Hello and welcome back to An Abundance of Not. It is November the 4th. Garrett here joined with Brad and Wade.
Hello.
Hello.
How's it going?
Doing well. How about you?
Nice. It's cooling off down here. We had some Santa Ana winds and then we had some weather. And it's finally getting to a nice cooler temperature, which is a pleasant surprise.
That sounds wonderful.
How are you?
You know, not too bad. It's, actually, it's been kind of cool and not really raining as much as kind of just misting, which is nasty. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I can't complain. It's been nice.
Very good. Wade?
Well, I got Skittles in hand, so I'm good.
He's happy. He's got Halloween candy. Speaking of Halloween, how was? Say that again.
He was asking.
I said happy post Halloween.
Yes, indeed. Hope everyone had a fun and frightful holiday.
And
you'll,
safe.
You'll have to forgive our crackling, as we're in need of sugar, apparently.
Sugar shortage.
That's right. How was your guys' Halloween? What the boys? How'd the boys do?
They raked in a heck of a haul. The subdivision that we are in, according to the neighbors with kids, doesn't have much of a Halloween. We're hoping to fix that next year. So, but this year we went over to my dad's neighborhood, which is really big. I'd say we covered a sixth of the houses, maybe,
wow,
in his subdivision, and ended up with a couple pounds of candy. So
nice.
It got to the point where we actually just called it quits. You know what? We're done.
Yeah, you guys have acquired enough, and it's
We've
getting late.
Yep.
Very cool.
So, no need to be greedy. We've got more than enough, and to be honest, the four of us will probably pig out on candy for the next week, maybe. And then the rest of it will sit until Christmas next year. So,
yeah.
You know, it's all like those almond joys and stuff.
Oh, gross.
I'll take them.
Yeah, no thank you. Anything coconut and I'm just done with.
Nah, see, I like coconut.
Well, we had set up, you saw... Last week?
I did see.
The week before? Last week? Whatever it
last
was.
Last week.
It was,
yeah,
last week.
It seems like forever ago.
It does. So come Saturday, we decorated the rest of the, with our stuff. We commandeered a common area in our complex and set up tombstones and whatnot. And I have this really cool prop. It's not a prop, actually. It's a tool. And it's a spiderweb gun. I think I may have mentioned it last week. And so we spent Saturday setting that up for Saturday evening, and then come Sunday, we tore it all down, and it's like it never happened. But,
evidence.
We only, pretty much.
Bodies are still, wait.
Yeah. We only had maybe 20 kids, though, so we have a lot of leftover candy, which is fine by me. And then, let's see, Seahawks won, so that's good. Sorry, Cowboys. Not really. And, yeah, it's about the extent of it. Hit up a Halloween store on Sunday and got a new fog machine for 30% off, so that's good.
Nice.
Yeah.
Gotta love those specials.
Heck yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's a big one, too. It's 1,000 watt.
What?
It's 1,000 watt. It's a big one.
What?
Shh. Stop it. See what you're doing there.
Yeah, you didn't the first time, though.
I didn't the first time, no. We've had technical issues in the green room, so I was only assuming that carried over to here.
I thought he was trying to do some kind of Back to the Future reference. 1,000 gigawatts. What?
What? What was that? Wade, what about you? You've got a little bit of an announcement.
Oh, yeah. Well, last time I stated that I might be working at BlizzCon, and that actually is confirmed now. So,
oh my goodness, seriously?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whereas everyone else is paying to get into BlizzCon, Wade is getting paid to be at BlizzCon.
And then I found out one of my co-workers' girlfriends, who I actually have a, how do I say this, a friend relationship with, she's working security. So it's like, all right, cool. But yeah, I'll be working BlizzCon this year. Of course, by the time you hear this and you're going to BlizzCon, you would have already been back, most likely.
Or he'll see you there.
Yeah.
You know, you can't beat getting paid to go instead of paying to go.
That's what I'm saying.
I'll be in Hall B on Saturday. In the World of Warcraft area. So.
Very nice.
Did you get to pick which area to work?
Nope. They're like, you're here, here, and here for these 3 days. It's like, all right.
Well, at least they stuck you with something you're familiar with.
Yep.
Any word on camera and whatnot?
I think they said like they don't want cell phones there.
Yeah.
Okay.
They get confiscated at the door and put through a shredder.
Maybe not quite that bad, but...
So.
Very cool. Yeah, my daughter went to... Danny Elfman is more or less touring, and she got tickets with her mom and aunt to go see that on Halloween night, and I hear it was amazing. They had a lot of the voice actors part of the tour that would sing key songs from the movies they were affiliated with. I think he did a couple Oingo Boingo songs, who he was with prior to getting into the cinematography / you know, composing stuff. But she had a blast. So well worth her not trick-or-treating. Definitely a good experience. And actually, I realized it's technically her first official concert.
Hmm.
So
not her first play, though.
No. Well, it wasn't a play. It was a concert.
I know. I'm just saying. But she's already gone to
get
play.
Get it straight.
Yeah, but she has gone to some place, so Wade is right in that regard. She has seen Wicked and Beauty and the Beast and a couple others, I think.
The other thing we did do for Halloween is there's a local group around here that does movies in the park.
Oh, nice.
So we went to the Verizon Amphitheater in North Atlanta, and we watched Hotel Transylvania. On a big screen in the park.
That's cool.
It was very cool.
I mean, there's some groups down here that are just local groups that will go into a public park and set up a screen and do kind of a movie in the park type thing, but it's nothing to what it sounds like that scale. But still something that can be fun.
Absolutely. It was a great time. Although I do wish that they had subtitles turned on. Amphitheaters have wonderful acoustics if you set the speakers in the correct locations, which they did not.
Oops.
So,
take it away, Ernie.
So, you know, if you're sitting way up front and close, it sounds pretty decent, I would imagine. Otherwise, you know, from the back, it was like, rah, rah, rah. And that was about all we heard. So the visuals were kind of good, though.
That's lame.
Yeah, it was about the experience, so we were good.
Nice.
And you got the teacher and Charlie Brown experience.
The teacher and Charlie Brown experience.
Pretty much.
Nice. Well, we'll jump into some movies. Two movies to talk about this week. We have Decent and Better Than Decent on the tomato meter through Rotten Tomatoes. Number one is Spectre, the new James Bond movie, starring, of course, Daniel Craig. We have Christoph Waltz and Lea Seydoux. I'm guessing that's how you pronounce it. Naomi Harris, to name a few. A cryptic message from Bond's past sends him on a trail to uncover a sinister organization. While M battles political forces to keep the Secret Service alive, Bond peels back the layers of deceit to reveal the terrible truth behind Spectre. It is PG-13, so be mindful of the children on that one. Maybe you're like me and you let your kids see PG-13. Maybe you're not. That's fine. You've been warned. So that's one on the list. Definitely a solid contender. The Daniel Craig Bond movies have historically been decent and entertaining to watch. I would imagine this is not going to be too far off.
Do you know if this is his last or is he signed to do more?
I don't know. I've seen interviews where he's danced around that question. So I don't know if anything's written at this point for another.
It took a little bit for me to get used to him playing the role. I mean, my Bond was always Pierce Brosnan.
The same. Most people would say the worst Bond, but is the one that I associated as well.
No, definitely not the worst Bond. I think the worst Bond goes to... I can't think of the guy's first name. Moore?
Kanye West.
Kanye West didn't play James Bond.
Have you heard what happened there?
Daniel Craig, in an interview, they asked him who the next Bond would be, and he said Kanye West.
Well, I'm sure Kanye would be happy to interrupt the...
I'm sorry,
the
what?
Oscars, and interject how somebody else should have won. But anyway.
That doesn't sound like him
Roger
at all.
Roger Moore. Roger Moore, I think, was probably the worst Bond, in my opinion, for what it's worth.
Sure.
Definitely Pierce Brosnan was the Bond I grew up with, so the switch to Daniel Craig did not come easy. But after a couple movies, I think he's definitely... He has a different take on it than Brosnan did, but I like what he's doing with the character. I am not opposed to him being Bond now. And like you said, hopefully this is another great performance.
Yeah, once I got past the fact that Daniel Craig's Bond was not the prim and proper and classy and, you know, graceful Bond that we've grown to understand the character to be, it sat better with me.
Mm-hmm.
Once I realized he was supposed to be rough around the edges and maybe had some issues in his past that were still kind of haunting him, it made more sense. So, but yeah, fingers crossed for another decent performance. Again, it's at 65% through Rotten Tomatoes. Number two this week. It needs very little introduction, but it's going to get one anyway. And that is the Peanuts movie. This is at 86% on Rotten Tomatoes. It is, of course, rated G. Charlie Brown, Snoopy, Lucy, Linus, and the rest of the beloved Peanuts gang make their big screen debut like they've never been seen before. In state-of-the-art 3D animation, Charlie Brown... The world's most beloved underdog, I'm guessing that's supposed to say, except for...
he can't...
Rotten Tomatoes is not behaving right now.
You could almost say they're being rotten.
You could almost say that.
Oh my goodness.
So we'll just leave it at that. Essentially, Charlie Brown and the Peanuts gang on the big screen.
Take it or leave it.
Take it. It's not something I'm rushing out to go see. I was never necessarily the biggest fan of the Charlie Brown world. I always kind of wondered.
Did you read the comic strips?
Here and there, not on a regular basis. Okay. Yeah, it was on like the Sunday.
Sunday funnies.
I mean, I always wondered if the Peanuts gang would always be kind of part of pop culture because the Charlie Brown Christmas movie is always on at the holidays.
Right.
So it kind of seemed like it was one of those movies that would never disappear. And now that they've got a new one, it's only solidifying that. So.
I suppose there are worse things.
We can agree on that.
Which is not much of
an endorsement?
Positive statement. Yeah, exactly.
And in the box office this week, we have The Martian pulls in another $11.7 million. Goosebumps pulls in $9.9 million. Bridge of Spies at third still at $8.4 million. And Hotel Transylvania at $5.9 million in fourth. Sorry, Bridge of Spies pulled in $8.4 million. I think I misread that. Alrighty. Any other movie news? We watched The Kingsman.
Yeah.
Over the weekend.
Speaking of prim and proper.
Speaking of British spy movies. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, there were definitely some entertaining parts. It was definitely kind of poking fun at the kind of the James Bond stuff, but in a real kind of under the table way. The whole ending bit with the girl in the jail just came out of left field, though.
Yeah.
So I think that's the twist that I've heard about. People are like, what the hell? It's not really a twist. It was just a...
It's like, did that really need to be there?
Yeah, exactly. It was just stupid writing. Like, did that really give us anything in the movie? But I mean, for the most part, it's an entertaining movie. For a couple bucks on Redbox, I'd recommend it.
Which is what we did.
Exactly.
So is it a comedy?
No. But it's kind of like a... It's not the British Secret Service. It's like a third-party organization of British spies.
It's not the SAS.
Yeah, MI6. But, I mean, it's entertaining. It kind of shows... it follows the main kid who you see as a young boy at the beginning of the movie and then kind of come into his own, going down one path and then, you know, directed towards another. So, I don't know. I mean, it was good. It was entertaining, and that's what you want out of it. The only criticism I have is the stupid writing at the very, very end of the movie.
We sure. Also had the girl with the razor legs.
I mean, that was an interesting thing. I mean, it wasn't like it was bad writing or whatever, but...
It was like half comedy, kind of. I mean, you had, what's his name, Samuel L. Jackson doing his lisp.
Yeah, so Samuel Jackson speaks with a lisp, and he makes fun of how the British people talk when he's talking with a lisp, which was kind of funny. I mean, it wasn't a laughing ha-ha comedy, but it was definitely kind of, I don't know. You could definitely tell it was James Bond-esque, but more campy without being complete comedy. I guess is how I would go about that one. All right. That about does it for movies.
So not Johnny English.
No, not. Yeah, not that.
Not to that extreme.
Correct. So yeah, I don't have anything else on movies.
I'm good.
All right, to the news.
Comcast, America's most hated company. 2 years running. Attempts to take it out on one of their competitors. Google Fiber had an issue in Kansas City during the first game of the World Series. Apparently, Google Fiber couldn't quite handle the demand that was being placed on it. So, with Google Fiber down, Comcast took to Facebook to take a jab at Google about this. But it backfired with their post that Google couldn't handle it. Comcast customers jumped on the bandwagon and said, yeah, but you're worse.
Yeah, I don't think Comcast has the right to try to blast anybody with their history.
Yeah. You know, again, considering they won, if that's the correct term, worst company in America.
That's like getting a Darwin Award. Hello?
Yeah, so I you know. Their customers don't like them. They only use them because there's no other choice.
Because America.
Yeah. Which is not much of a business model. Why do you have so many customers? Well, because there's nobody else for them to use.
And we have a contractual agreement with government to never have to deal with competition ever.
Said the president of Comcast, followed closely by excellent while drumming his fingers.
Exactly. Wonderful comebacks from their customers included Google Fiber has failed once. You are failing continuously. I'm still paying a high bill for internet service that's slower than Google Fiber. Lots of comments on Google or on Comcast data caps. My Comcast business drops out daily. Maybe you should report on your own shoddy service.
Nice.
Yeah. The worst day of Google Fiber is better than the best days Comcast can provide. Yeah.
That about sums it up.
Put it on the table.
Apparently, they got enough of a roasting over this that the post is no longer visible on the Xfinity Facebook page.
Oh, they took it down. Imagine that.
Yeah.
Stupid.
But you can go to their site and get the greatest hits of elevator music. Because they acknowledge that their wait times are so long that they would rather, instead of have you be on hold, they'll just call you back.
A lot of companies offer that service, and every single one of them sucks.
I'm surprised Comcast didn't do it first.
Nice. All right, Wade?
Well, continuing on from something that's a little less horrible, Sony had a show in Paris this past week where they showed off some of the abilities they'll be able to do with their VR platform, Project Morpheus. Some of the games that were shown include a VR add-on to the game Until Dawn, which was kind of like butterfly effect of the game. So it's kind of iffy. I wonder how they're going to pull that off. But then again, that game looked pretty scary in my book. But I never got to play it. Whatever. A trailer for Riggs Mechanized Combat League.
So, okay.
More details on the Robinson The Journey, which was, it takes you back in time to the, I didn't want to say Jurassic period, but
wasn't that like the Swiss Family Robinson like show and story where they were a family marooned on an island with dinosaurs and stuff?
No, this is pretty much. It's the trailer shows kind of like this floating orb century thing, kind of like Guilty Spark from the Halo series.
Okay.
It was like, hey, follow me very closely and listen to me what I say, or you get squished by a herd of roaming, what are the brachiosauruses?
Or no, sure.
The long necks. Probably not the right one, but the long neck ones?
Yep.
Bronchiosaurus.
No, brachiosaurus.
Is it brachiosaurus? Battle Zone, which I'm not too sure what it was. Gran Turismo will also have VR capability, so wow. And one that I'm not quite sure how they're going to pull this off, Tekken 7 with VR capabilities.
That will be interesting.
Yeah, like, how do you do that? I'm like, I'm thinking of the fighting game Tekken, and I don't see anywhere you can really put VR into it.
Unless it's just another way to see the screen and maybe they do some sort of stuff that comes at the view, but it's not going to be like a first-person type thing. It's just going to be...
Well, maybe it will be first-person.
Maybe they will offer first-person fighting capabilities.
The only way I can kind of see them pull that off is that if there's certain moves that then turn you into first person mode, but maybe. That's really jarring.
Yeah, unless it's full first person, or unless it's just the same view through a different platform.
Makes me wonder, though, how they're going to compensate for the issues that all VR vendors are having with nausea. I mean, it's hard to compensate for the disconnect that you get, that your eyes are telling you one thing. You know, like with Gran Turismo, you'll be sitting in the car and your eyes are telling you you're in the car and that the terrain is moving around you, but your inner ear is not moving.
Yep.
And it causes problems for a lot of people. I know we've covered or discussed it before on the show. It's not an insignificant number. You know, we're not talking about a fraction of 1%. We're talking about 30-40% of people have issues when you disconnect the visual and the inner ear sensors.
Now, when you're playing a video game in a room, you still have the stationary aspect of the rest of the room. When you put on a VR headset and all that goes away,
exactly,
you're causing your brain to receive mixed signals and not know how to handle it.
If anyone wants to do an experiment with that, try using a mic on your computer with the playback on and try to speak. It's too hard.
It takes some time getting used to.
How much of a disconnect there is when you can hear your own voice.
Yeah.
Well, between that and you, I remember I ended this with a conference call today where somebody starts talking, someone else talks over them. And depending on the person and the mentality, if you're naturally someone who gives way to somebody else, you will talk very hesitantly and allow someone else to talk over you versus just talking over top of that person. Now, when you have to listen to the feedback of a microphone, you learn to just kind of talk over what you're hearing because you realize that you don't need to comprehend what you're hearing because it's you. You just said it. But it does take some time to compensate for that. And we run into an issue sometimes when the feedback has a delay. It can be really, really jarring and really hard to compensate for.
I mean, but I think this is a good step for Sony because I've seen in multiple cases, not with just VR, but other, I want to say peripherals, other gaming equipment where it didn't sell because there were no games, but on the other hand, there were no games because it didn't sell.
Yeah, you got that cyclical business situation.
Well, and that's where, as much as we decry them, that's where you kind of have to have those exclusive agreements, at least initially, even if they're temporary exclusives. You know, you've got to have that up front. You've got to have some incentive for people to buy into your ecosystem.
Speaking of, did you get Halo Guardians yet?
Not yet.
Why not?
Don't have a Halo 1. Or a Halo 1. An Xbox One.
I didn't think that'd stop you. Complete the collection on the shelf. Play it when I can.
That's it. It looks pretty on the shelf.
That's it. Well, in automotive news, you know, we talk a lot about clean vehicles. We have our favorites here on the show. And we've talked a little bit about autonomous vehicles, but there's been another name in the news for all the wrong reasons, and that is Volkswagen, or Volkswagen for us American scum. If you've heard a few weeks, if not, say that again.
I said it's the non-clean car.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. If you heard from a few weeks to maybe a month back, they got popped pretty hard for emissions violations. What happened and what was found out is that they have a software in their vehicles that allows them to kind of cheat the emissions test for the nitrogen oxide readings. They will burn cleaner for the test itself, but that's not indicative of daily use. So they got popped for that. The existing CEO or CEO at the time, back in September, actually, when this really came down, has resigned. due to the what they're calling emissions scandal. But something else happened, too. As a result of this, there was an internal report, and they found what they're calling unexplained inconsistencies on carbon dioxide emissions from over 800,000 of its vehicles. And that report could cost, or that remedy could cost, upwards of $2.2 billion U.S. The CEO, current CEO, states that Volkswagen will relentlessly and completely clarify what has happened. Admits this is a painful process, but there is no other alternative but to remedy this. Let's see. Volkswagen admitted... Sorry, go.
I was going to say, I don't know if he realizes this, but the whole point of a fine is it's supposed to be painful.
Correct. But he's saying that we have no other option but to make it right, so to speak, which is kind of like, duh.
Welcome to the world.
Or you could close your doors and no longer offer Volkswagen, Audi, Porsche, Lamborghini, you know, just to name a few. In September, Volkswagen admits to purposefully installing the software to pass the nitrogen oxide test on the four-cylinder diesel engines. This was on upwards of 11 million cars worldwide, including 500,000 in the U.S. The company has already set aside $7.4 billion U.S. to cover the cost for recalling those vehicles. Analysts expect the cost to increase. Our glorious EPA said that Volkswagen has also installed the software on Audi, Porsche, and Volkswagen cars with six-cylinder engines to allow them to emit fewer pollutants during tests rather than giving real-world data. Volkswagen has denied this charge, but faces prospect of more fines. Anyway.
To which everybody else went, sure.
You didn't.
Sure, you
can. In a few weeks, there'll be a firmware update, and it'll be remedied. I don't know.
Lock up your car.
We haven't tested this new software. Check it out. Oh, your car is now bricked on the side of the road.
Now there's no emissions.
Correct. We fixed it. Can't go anywhere, but it's not polluting anymore.
Jeez, you want it all.
It just baffles me to see that a company would rather cheat a system than, you know, just do the right thing. And all for the case of money.
Companies do that all the time. They only got caught.
Yeah.
That's the only caveat to this. Companies cheat all sorts of systems all the time in quality and... you know, labor costs and this, that, and the other for the sake of profitability, because it is a publicly traded company. They have to report to the stock markets on the areas that they're traded. And if they can make an extra buck on it, that's what they're going to do. They just happen to get caught, and now it's a problem.
Well, and supposedly, from what I've read, there is a way to make it cleaner, but it requires an additive. And their whole thing was, we're able to make it cleaner without the additive. We've made these wonderful technological advancements that nobody else can do.
Called software updates.
And, you know, I'm going to make this twist. Follow me down the rabbit hole.
Uh-oh. The devil is out to play.
This is where... legislation like the DCMA, or DMCA rather, the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, actually hurts us.
Are you going DRM again?
Actually, well, kind of. Not really, but kind of. It's more copyright law. So, before the DMCA, educational institutions could study even proprietary software. As long as it wasn't for corporate use, you know, if it was for academic use, you could reverse engineer and study software.
Sure.
With the DMCA, that became illegal. Well, the problem with that is we get these black box systems like Volkswagen had, where their software is proprietary and nobody's allowed to look into it because it's proprietary, and to reverse engineer it is now highly illegal. Well, before the DMCA, you would have reverse engineered it anyway, purely for the academic interest, and somebody would have gone, wait, that doesn't look right.
Yeah.
So part of the fault is on the whole copyright problem. I mean, it's a mess that we've created. And we, primarily being the motion picture industry, where they have overreached in their efforts to protect what is admittedly, and by multiple studies, a small injury to them. But they've created such a mess that is far-reaching and has severe consequences like this.
I don't disagree. So
the fact that Volkswagen got away with this for as long as they did, we can thank Hollywood for, actually.
Yeah.
Which is a weird connection to make, but nonetheless, it can be made.
Stupid Hollywood.
Stupid Motion Picture Association. But it's reaching even beyond that. I mean, we've got this problem with Volkswagen. But there have been further issues, and this hasn't been covered very much, with our agriculture industry, where companies, you know, like International and like John Deere, use their own proprietary software in their tractors, in their harvesters, in their seeders, and farmers are not allowed, yes, you heard that correctly, they're not allowed to fix their own farm machinery because it contains proprietary technology and algorithms and software, and to fix your tractor is a violation of the DMCA.
That's why cars back in the 70s were the way to go. No computer systems, all right. Analog and carburetors and big engines and loud noises. I miss those days.
And a lever you spin to crank it up.
No.
That was like a little further back.
1910s maybe.
I know, I'm just giving you some shit. So. Well,
all right. So Volkswagen sucks. They're fixing it. It's probably going to cost them close to $10 billion in the process, all to try to, baffle the population into a clean burning 4-cylinder diesel and potentially 6-cylinder car. Woohoo.
Didn't work.
All right. Moving on.
Speaking of, legal matters, several months ago, we covered a story where Marriott hotel chains got dinged by the FCC for blocking guests' private Wi-Fi networks.
Yes.
If you remember, it was all in an effort to drive their revenue. They were charging outrageous amounts of money to join their Wi-Fi networks and blocking you from bringing your own cell Wi-Fi hotspots. In the wake of that, you would think the hotel industry would have learned to not do that. However, the FCC received a complaint against Hilton, alleging that the Anaheim, California Hilton property was blocking Wi-Fi hotspots and charging $500 to access the hotel's Wi-Fi network. Not sure what the heck kind of property they have in Anaheim, but I don't know anybody's Wi-Fi that's worth $500.
Well, the property that's in Anaheim is a little known place called Disneyland.
And yeah, the convention
even
center?
There. $500?
Yeah. Anyway. Well, they're driving business for, they're acquiring their business for Disneyland patrons from out of town. And you know, if they can ding them for expensive wireless LAN or Wi-Fi, then why not? That's the mindset.
So this one takes a slightly different twist. In November of 2014, having received this complaint, the FCC sent Hilton a letter of inquiry requesting information about the specifics of their Wi-Fi management and just generally, you know, initiating the investigation. You're not in trouble. We're just curious. Hey, we've gotten this complaint. What's going on? Hilton didn't respond.
It's usually a good way to go.
Yep. That is the best way to handle a government agency when they request information. So FCC being patient or bureaucratic, I'm not sure which, allowed this to continue for a year. After a year, Hilton still hadn't responded. So the FCC has now levied a $25,000 fine against Hilton, not for the alleged infraction, that's still under investigation, but the $25,000 fine is for obstruction because they won't respond.
Nice.
Now, in the grand scheme of Hilton's worldwide takings, $25,000 doesn't seem like much and probably isn't to them, but at least the FCC is starting to put some teeth behind it, that you don't get to just ignore them. And the FCC takes customer complaints very seriously.
Well, it's about time.
I know, right?
Going from horrible prices to hopefully good movies, Blizzard announced that they will be showing a trailer of the upcoming World of Warcraft movie this November 6th at BlizzCon. And I mean, it has quite the cast, but of no one we really know.
Well, there's people you know, you just don't realize you know them. Bucky, who was the Winter Soldier in Captain America, is in the movie. Clancy Brown, who, for those who've seen the old Highlander movie from many moons ago, he played the Barbarian. He's also popped up in a bunch of other things, like The Flash and whatnot.
And he's playing Blackhand. So anyone who plays WoW and it's knowing where this is going, I'll try to fill you in on who they play.
Actress Paula Patton, who is in Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol, Deja Vu, Two Guns, and quite a few other appearances will be in it.
She plays Grona Half-Orkin.
Ben Foster, who played Archangel in the X-Men movie, also was in 310 to Yuma, Lone Survivor, Pandorium, and The Mechanic.
How oddly, because he plays the Archmage Medivh.
Travis Fimmel, he was in The Experiment, Restraint, Vikings. He plays Anduin Lothar.
Yep.
He's also in Supremacy, a bunch of other, it looks like, TV stuff here and there, movies. I mean, so it's people that have established careers. You know, they're not no-names, but they're not necessarily have had the primary role in movies they've been in.
You know, Robert Kaczynski is playing, he was in Pacific Rim.
Yep.
And he's playing Orgrim Doomhammer. So, you know, that's in something that most of us should know.
Yep. So, I mean, there's a lot of people in here that like I said, they're not B actors or they're not up and comers. They're just
someone like you
haven't necessarily been leads yet.
They'd be like, if you said, you know, this guy in Pacific Rim, you'd be like, who? You're like, okay, him right there. Like, oh, all right. You know, it's not someone they would particularly focus on, I think, as the main actor.
Yep. Exactly.
So, I mean, this will be
apparently, the World of Warcraft movie should be out in March of 2016. It'll be interesting where they go with it, considering that, you know, they can't, if they go really lore heavy to satiate the players and the fans, they'll lose out on the mass public. But if they go less lore heavy to open it up to the mass public, the fans will be mad.
Well, you see this with a lot of stuff. You know, Pacific Rim is a comic book. If they went true to the lore and the comic stuff and didn't give enough of the backstory in the movie, they would lose out on all the new people. But so, I mean, there's a lot of movies like that. Look at even Lord of the Rings or The Hobbit. They have to leave so much stuff out. They've got to appease the fans as much as possible that know the stuff, while also intriguing new viewers for it as well. But
Blizzard fanboys are pretty voracious in their upheaval of lore, or upkeep of lore.
Okay, well, like you said, they either appease the fans and bypass the general populace, or they have to find a middle ground like they always do. If they don't, they'll lose out on a complete demographic.
I have added... Oops, sorry, Brad. Go ahead.
Well, and how do you compress what is now years of canon into a movie-length feature?
And
just like they do with all the books that they turn into movies, unless they make it a multi-parter, but that doesn't sound been expressed.
Like you were pointing out, though, Garrett, even with the multi-parts, I mean, you take Lord of the Rings, which was a fairly decent volume, and you make three movies out of it, and there's still a chunk missing.
Mm-hmm.
So you take The Hobbit, which is a tiny book, and make three movies out of it, and you're still missing a lot. So how do you take years of gameplay and turn it into a single movie?
I mean, if I'm remembering my lore knowledge right, there were at least three wars.
Okay, I mean, you can reference the wars in pretty simple text without getting in-depth into each.
But they're bringing in the orcs of old, Garrosh, Hellscream, Gul'dan, Blackhand, Orgrim, Doomhammer, so they're going to go through all of it.
Or maybe the movie is based on old game where a lot of the newer content or part of the game hasn't happened yet in the timeline that
they're going to tell.
Maybe they're going to focus on the first war. Which is
when the orcs came through the
Dark Portal. And then they opened themselves up to make more movies with the same source material, just further up in the timeline.
Oh god, that would break the internet, where it's like, oh, by the way, there's going to be a second one. People would freak. But yeah, I didn't see anyone like, I didn't see King Varian Reign, there's Anduin Wyvern or something like that. So yeah, they're probably going to stay with the same, with the early stuff beforehand, which is, you know, as we kind of witnessed in Warlords of Draenor.
I mean, if I were a betting person, if I was banking on the inside of profitability, that's what I would do, is start making movies that coincide with the game and a certain time period in the game, and then you can build on that, and you can have the movies then be their own way of telling the same lore in a different medium.
Mm-hmm. I have included the BlizzCon 2014 panel on the movie, as in, at the time of recording this. The 2016 panel of the movie has not occurred. So, should be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, the graphics from the trailer I've seen, they look fantastic, as you would expect. A lot of the Blizzard game cinematics are fantastic. So, from a quality standpoint, there should be no issue there. But how they tell the story and what story they tell and how they pay tribute to the fans while also keeping the rest of us interested will be the challenge.
So, speaking of odd tie-ins, have you guys been watching any interesting TV shows lately?
I don't know about interesting TV shows. We are back onto Flash and Arrow. Wade likes watching iZombie. Those are all local stuff.
Supernatural, but we haven't been really
Bit low on Supernatural lately. Haven't been kept up on that. And then Walking Dead.
We're saying we have our set shows.
That's about the extent of it.
Do you guys pay attention, or do you find it interesting when they have little Easter eggs in new shows?
Sure.
So the one that caught my eye, I don't know if you've seen the new series Supergirl.
I saw like the first episode, so I can't.
Okay, so it's only just started. I've only seen the pilot. It looks kind of interesting. I am, as we've discussed before, I am a DC Comics fan. So the Super Family, I suppose, Superman, is Crypto. Interesting to me. The couple things that caught my eye, and I had to look it up to make sure I was correct, but Supergirl, maybe a little bit of a spoiler alert here, but it's just kind of interesting trivia. Supergirl is Superman's cousin.
Yep.
And she got delayed on her way here. She was supposed to watch over Clark. Long story short, she gets put in a foster family. What I thought was interesting was the guy that plays her foster dad is Dean Cain. Now, I don't know if that name rings a bell.
It does sound very familiar.
It does?
Yes.
He played Superman.
Okay.
In Lois and Clark.
That's right. Yep.
And there's actually a few family tie-ins. Her foster mom, let me find her name. And I'm drawing a blank here. Sorry about that.
You didn't have the webpage open? Come on, man.
No, I do have it open, but I'm trying to dig through the names. Anyway, there's quite a few tie-ins. It's very interesting to look up and catch all the tie-ins. Because there's previous Supergirls, there's people that have played in Smallville. Obviously, the big name, Dean Cain, was a previous Superman. It's really neat to see how they've kept, at least for the pilot episode, they've kept it in the family, so to speak.
That is pretty cool. I didn't realize Dean Cain was in it at all.
Yeah. He doesn't get much. I don't think he even has a speaking role, but they show her being taken to her foster family, and it was just one of those quick scenes where it's like, wait, I recognize that guy. Is it really? And sure enough, yeah, it's Dean Cain, and
it's like
that's quick, her foster dad.
It's that cameo, and you're like, wait, what?
Yep.
Yeah. Did I really just see that?
Yeah, he's done pretty well for himself too, though. From I think he's done some game show stuff or whatever. He's been busy.
Yep. Okay, here it is. It's Helen Slater plays her foster mom, who was the original Supergirl.
Okay.
She was Supergirl in the original TV series.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's just. Apparently, they put some thought into it and brought back some of the old characters as new characters and just really tied it in nicely. It was neat to see.
Yeah.
It doesn't really affect the story at all. The story stands on its own, but it was just neat to see that they had put that kind of thought into it.
Now, you said you'd only seen the pilot of Supergirl. Do you plan on making that a regular view, or was that just an attempt and to see how it goes?
I have set it to DVR. I'm not sure if it's going to become a regular show for me or not. The pilot was interesting. You know, I find with shows like this, the pilot may be enough to catch you, but then they've got two, maybe three episodes where it could go either way. Either they really pull this off or they make it just corny.
Well, you know, the pilot is the hook for the
exactly
executive to say yay or nay on it, so they kind of have to make it thrilling for that. So
absolutely, so should be interesting.
But there was one thing that I actually kind of... I brought this up to Garrett a while back. And I do believe the next Joker should be Gary Busey.
He's too old.
Have you seen, remember the picture, though?
Yeah, but he's got the face for it.
He does, and it would have been great 10 years ago.
They should do like 10 years later Batman. They should do the Batman Beyond with Gary Busey as Joker.
Where all the characters are using canes.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Did you ever see the Batman Beyond animated series?
Was that the one where he had really pointy ears and the bat was red?
No.
Yes, okay. The bat on his emblem was red. He had like red wings that came out of the suit. And it was no longer Bruce Wayne. It was this kid that he kind of brought in. Bruce is now old and decrepit, so to speak.
Yeah, I didn't watch it. I did see a couple of episodes, but it never really...
hooked you?
Grabbed me. Yeah.
Bit into you? Ha ha ha.
Ha. But yes, you're right. Bruce was rather old in that. Yeah. Trying to mentor the kid.
I mean, there is... Oh, yeah, but there is a picture with Gary Busey, and someone has photoshopped it to get the white face paint and garb of the Joker. And it's like, okay, he may be able to pull that off.
It'll be interesting to see how Jared Leto does, because I think his characters will be a little bit more sinister or maybe just purely more psychotic than we've seen other Jokers be. Which could be a fun little twist to it. Not really a twist, but portrayal.
Well, there's so many different ways you can go with Joker. I think Heath Ledger really captivated a cunning but disturbed.
Yes.
You know? His Joker was scary, but not in a physical...
He was a mastermind.
Yeah. He was very intelligent. You know, he wasn't just some stupid prankster. Which I think can be the trap with Joker. But he was very intelligent and sinister, and there was a lot of thought behind his pranks isn't the right word, but his...
antics.
What's the word I'm after? Yeah. And it was just scary.
Did we talk on the show because about the so real hero of Batman? What was it? The Dark Knight? Dark Knight Rises?
Mm-hmm.
We did talk about that?
I don't remember.
Start that one again?
Did we talk about who the true hero of The Dark Knight Rises was?
Oh, yeah. I've heard some of the theories.
Well, the article I read was the real hero of Gotham was the Joker.
Right.
He killed corrupt politicians. He destroyed organized crime by bankrupting it. He, like, all the things that he did, they were evil, but there was a means to it, and, you know, he accomplished that, so to speak.
Well, so,
it'd be interesting to watch the movie again now, knowing that.
I think the other part of that, I think we read the same article. I think the other part of that, though, is the truthfulness, right? I mean, Bruce Wayne / Batman did a lot of bad things, but tried to dress it up as a good guy. Joker did a lot of bad things, getting rid of bad people, but never pretended that he was the good guy.
Correct.
He was actually more truthful about who he was.
Exactly. Very good. Well, we're right at our hour mark. We do want to thank you guys for listening and interacting. Big congratulations to the followers. We are over 500 followers now on Twitter. So thank you for that. And as promised, we will be doing a $50 Amazon gift card raffle. It will be available to followers only. And all you got to do is go to our Twitter and retweet the posts that have been already there, and we'll continue to remind you guys to get in on the action. Do check us out at Facebook. We could use some more love over there, facebook.com/abundance.not. And in general, we'll see you guys next time.
Unfortunately, you guys did not get to the Halloween mark, so I may stream.
No games for you.
I may stream. It will probably most likely not be SCP Containment Breach, though. But I actually just refreshed that one. For you. And that has some new scares, which I am.
So he might do it.
Intrigued to discover. But in any case, keep on gaming.
That's a wrap.
And see you at BlizzCon.